We continue our learning. We're in Beit Perigimel, Mishnah Dalet. The Mishnah is going to speak about a Bechor. The Torah says if you have a firstborn male animal, a kosher domestic animal, a cow, a sheep, or a goat, so that has to be given to the Kohen. The Kohen brings it to the Azara, to the Beis HaMikdash. He slaughters it there. Parts are placed on the Mizbeach, and he's able to eat the remaining meat. Now, you're not permitted to slaughter a Bechor outside the Beis HaMikdash unless it has a mum. What type of mum? It needs to be a mum kavua, a permanent mum. A mum over, where it's going to heal at some point, so that animal remains kadosh, and it has to be brought as a Bechor. Once we can determine that it's a mum kavua, so then the Kohen can slaughter the animal outside the Beis HaMikdash. It's considered a chulin. It does not have the status of Bechor. Nowadays, we can't bring a Bechor as a carbon. And therefore, we have to avoid that problem. We have a, if you have, let's say, a cow, and the cow we know is pregnant, it's going to give birth to its first animal, and that potentially could be a male. So we have the Jew who owns the cow partner with the non-Jew, and therefore we can exempt this from the problem of Bechor. In the times of the Mikdash, though, we needed a mumcha, an expert, who could distinguish between, look at a Bechor and know, this is a mum kavua, this is a mum over, this is a permanent mum, and this is one that's only temporary. That was considered the highest level of smicha. We look at smicha, the basic level of smicha, what we call yore, person who can give rulings in Isra v'heter, then yadin, give rulings in money matters, and then we have Yatra Bechoros. The Gemara in Sanhedrin speaks about some of the Amorim that had to sit for a long time with the farmers and learn about animals and learn about their movement. That's the only way to be able to rule on these matters. So the case of the Mishnah is where I have a Bechor, and the Mishnah says, Bechor shenafel lebor, I have a firstborn animal. It fell into the boar on Yontif. And where it's important, the Gemara says, we can't be speaking about a mum, a blemish, that it got on Yontif. Because if the animal before Yontif did not have a mum at all, and now, so if it didn't have a mum, so obviously the owner in times of the Beis HaMikdash had in mind that he's going to bring this as a carbon. He didn't have in mind at all that he's going to potentially slaughter this on Yom Tov today. So obviously we're speaking about a case, and that would be Muktzah, of course. But we're talking about a case where the animal already before Yom Tov had a mum, and therefore it was not necessarily Muktzah, because the owner maybe anticipated slaughtering the animal and eating it. The only thing is, it was not examined by a mumche to know whether or not, to determine whether this is a mum kavua or a mum over. It's a mum over, you will not be able to eat from the animal. You wouldn't be able to slaughter it on Yontif. If it's a mum kavua, you could. So what do we do with this bechor that had a mum before Yontif, but it had not been determined what type of mum that it had, and now it's in a boar. It's all the way down the bottom of this pit. So you want to bring it up, but to bring it up, you may be moving muktzah, because it's a mum over, then you're not allowed to shecht it. It's a muktzah animal. So what do we do? So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yered Mum Chevira. Then we should have an expert, one who has the smicha, the ordination of Yatir Bechoros. Let him go down and let him check, and he'll be able to tell if it's considered a mum kavua or a mum over. Meaning, he'll be able to figure it out. And as the Mishnah explains, Im Yesh Bo Mum Yalav Yishkol. What it's really saying is that if this mumcha finds that mum that it had before Yom Tov was a mum kavua, so now obviously the animal is disqualified from being brought as a karbon, and you're allowed to shecht it, and then you can bring it up. That's what he has to do. Vim lav, but if not, meaning he didn't determine that mum was a mum kavua before Yontif. He realizes that the animal, maybe the mum that it had before Yom Tov is only a mum over, so then you're not, obviously it's going to heal, so then you're not allowed to shecht. And now the Gemara on Daf Chavav wonders, what do I need this for? You already told me, im yesh bo mum yalav yishchot, if you realize that the mum before Yom Tov was a mum kavua, permanent mum, you're allowed to bring it up and shecht it. So obviously I know the opposite. I know v'im lav lo yishchot. And if not, meaning you couldn't determine that it was a mum kavua before Yom Tov, you're not allowed to shecht it. So the Gemara explains what the chiddush of the last line in the Mishnah is, and that is, let's say the animal developed a mum kavua, a permanent mum now, meaning it had a mum before Yom Tov, And the mumche looks down and says that this is a mum kavua. It's not a mum kavua from before Yom Tov. That may have been a mum over, but it definitely has a mum kavua now. So even though you'll tell me, well, this new mum, now that it has a Yom Tov, removes the isser against shechting an animal outside the Azara, outside the Beis HaMikdash, it's now mum kavua. You still can shecht it on Yom Tov. Why? Because you didn't anticipate that before Yom Tov. Before Yom Tov, there was a mum, and you had no idea what it was. So the fact that it became a mum kavua on Yom Tov, or maybe, and it started as a mum over, but because it had that, eventually it developed to a mum kavua, doesn't matter. Still lo yishchod, you're not allowed to shecht it. The animal is muksa. Rabbi Shimon Omer, kol she'ein mumo nikar miba'od yom, ein zeh min amuchan. He says, if you couldn't tell, by a mumcha couldn't tell, even miba'od yom, he's more strict, before even Yom Tov started, that it wasn't recognizable, ein zeh min amuchan, the animal's automatically muksa, it's not prepared. Meaning, said Tanakam Ravida said, well, if the mumcha goes down and realizes that after making this ruling, you know, it's a mum kavua. This mum, with no doubt, was there. This mum kavua must have been there before Yom Tov. So that, Rabbi Yehuda says, that's okay. Rabbi Shimon says, even that's not okay. The mum was in Nikra before Yom Tov. There's nothing we can talk about. Why is that? So Bar Tanura makes his point based on the Gemara, and I quote, Lav Mishum Muktza Asarle. Not an issue of Muktza. The Halesli Rabbi Shimon Muktza. Rabbi Shimon is the general opinion throughout Masechet Shabbos, Masechet Beitza, and other places in Shas, that he doesn't accept the concept of Muktza. It doesn't mean he doesn't agree with all types of Muktza. But if you have, let's say, an animal as an example, an animal potentially you can eat, so Rabbi Shimon would not necessarily say that that's muksa. You have food, you have clothing. By definition, those items are not muksa. Rabbi Yehuda usually takes a more strict stance when it comes to muksa. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you can have even foods, certain foods designated, let's say, for sale. That may have the status of muktzah, and Rabbi Shimon would say not necessarily. Food is food. Food should not be muktzah. So Rabbi Shimon is generally the more lenient one when it comes to muktzah, and therefore you can't tell me that if this animal had a mum kavua before Yom Tov, you can't tell me that it should be muktzah. So why is Rabbi Shimon being strict here and saying if the mum wasn't nika, wasn't recognizable mibod yom before the day, it's not mum muchan? So the answer is the following. Ella, I'm still reading from the Bar Tanura. Elimination matiro b'yom tov, because the mumcha, the expert, the rabbi, is permitting the animal on Yom Tov. The havelik mitakno, it's like he's fixing it, making it usable. The nevir kedun din, and it looks like he's making a judgment. Gazra b'mishum shvus. We'll see later on in the fifth parak that dunis adin, judging on Yom Tov, is not allowed. Their concern is that you may end up writing, but there's also the fact that here, this ruling is making this permitted. And therefore, it's not muchan lios kosher, he says. That's why it's not allowed. Now, that doesn't mean that a rabbi can't make a ruling. Generally, you make a ruling on certain halachos. Let's say they ask the basa b'cholov question, and say, oh no, that pot is not treif, that pot is fine. Oh, that soup is fine. That's not a dones adin. That's not where he's making a ruling and he's rendering something fit or unfit. That the reality, the facts were there already, and he's just clarifying the situation. But when it comes to a bechor, the mumcha is really making a ruling. This is a psak halacha to the extent where it's dones adin, like you have a civil dispute being brought to the court, and he's giving a psak halacha. That's he's rendering the animal kosher. Without his ruling, it would not be. And therefore, that's included in the Donas HaDin. And that's Rabbi Shimon says, if the mum was a nikah before Bimel Yom, it's not mucham because it cannot judge the case. Now, Tosus on Daf, Chav Vav Amin Aleph, wonders why then the Mishnah would say, Ein Zeh Min HaMuchan, meaning if the issue is that he made a halachic ruling, that he's not allowed to do that, so why would you not say that? Why do you say, oh, because it's not min hamuchan? It's still muktza if it's not nikar mibe'od yom. So in fact, it seems, and the way Rashi learns, that would mean that if, let's say, he after the fact, he didn't follow the halacha, and he rendered the animal kosher, maybe Rabbi Shimon, based on that logic, would say, oh, well, donas adin, he's not allowed to do. But let's say he did it. You're going to tell me you can't shecht the animal? It seems from that simple reading of the Mishnah that b'di'evad, that at that point it would be okay. So therefore, Tosus says the fact that Rishimon emphasizes Ein Zimmer Amuchen is there to tell you that it's twofold, meaning the fact that Rabbi Shimon does not allow the halachic ruling of a Bechor on Yom Tov, so that shows that even if he would examine it, obviously violating the halacha, it's not. It's still going to be muktzah. Why is it still muktzah? Because the owner of the animal doesn't anticipate that the rabbi is going to do something wrong. And therefore, Ein Zimen Amuchan is really the case. Meaning, the fact that he can't make a halachic ruling, even if he would, Ein Zimen Amuchan, it still has the status of being muktzah, because it's something that would be, that's unanticipated by the owner of the animal. Perek Gimel Mishnah Hey. Behema Shemesa. Have an animal that dies. And the Gemara assumes on Daf Chav Zayin that we're talking about an animal that is kadosh. Says the Bartanur, Bebehemas Kodshim Mairi. Why do we assume that? Because a little bit later in the Mishnah, we lump this together, this animal with Chala Shenitma. Chala is holy. Chala belongs. I des separate the dough from the Chala Mena Isa. So that has Kedusha, that goes to a Kohen. So it must be that the behemoth we're speaking about as well is also an animal that is Kadosh, an animal that is holy, and therefore we must be speaking about a behemoth that is Kadosh. And this Kachim animal died. It died of natural causes. Now what can I use it for? So I can't get any benefit from it. That's the problem. Behemoth Shemesa, that's Kachim. It's Asura Bahana, says the Barturura, Utu Nekvura, and you have to bury it. So that's why the Mishnah says, Lo Dizi Zenom Im Koma. You can't move it from its place. The Gemara infers from there, if it were a Behema Schulin, and I'm reading from the Barturura, that inference from the Gemara, of a Behema Schulin, let's say it's not Kachim. It's an animal that's not holy. So then, if it would die, Mechat Kenos Olvneachlev, I'm allowed to chop it up and feed it to my dogs. Why? Because it's something that I was thinking about. Potentially it may die. And he even breaks that point. Only when the animal I saw is already sick and potentially may die. Yesterday we spoke about that fact that I may want to shech an animal. It's misukenes. I'm not talking about that. I didn't shech the animal. The animal just died. It's an avela. But I can feed it to my dog. So that's okay when it comes to a chulin animal. Didaiti love it. His mind was on it. He was thinking it was going to die. Avaloha isa misukenes meesmo. But for Erev Yont, if it wasn't misukenes, it wasn't sick. You didn't think about cutting this animal up for your animal. Then afbehemas chulin lo yuziz enemim koma is mukta. You can't move at all. Now, what about being poda the animal? Don't we have this concept of a pidyon? I can redeem it. So the answer is you can only redeem Behemas Kachim, a holy animal, when it's still alive. Here it's dead, there's nothing I can do. Number two, you're not permitted, there's a concept of Ein Poedimus HaKachim LaHachila Meklavim. Now let it redeem something holy if the only use of him is to feed for animal food. And therefore that's also not allowed. Plus the fact that doing any redemption, pidyon, is considered like a business transaction, which is not allowed on Yom Tov. Mekach u'memkar is not allowed on Yom Tov. So that's because we're afraid that you may end up writing. Also one of the concerns in the fifth parak in this Masechta. So again, Behema Shemesa, I have a Behema Skashet that dies. Lo Yizi Zena Mimkoma, you're not allowed to move it at all. It's muktzah. There's no use for it at all. Umaisa v'shalus Rabbi Tarfon Oleha v'alachala shenitma. It was a case where they asked Rabbi Tarfon the shaila on that animal, a behemas kachim that died and chala that became tamid. I see, lump them together. And what do we do with them on Yom Tov? Chala became tamid. It has no use as well. V'nechnas lebeis hamedrash shishal. He came into the beis medrash Rabbi Tarfon and asked the chachamim, v'amru lo, lo yizizem, im kamam. You're not allowed to move them. Some of the farshim explained, why would Rabbi Tarfon not know the answer to that question? So maybe these two objects, you couldn't be moved, maybe because they're holy, chala, behemas kachim, and leaving a dead animal or a chala of shenitma in an open area, maybe that's considered some type of desecration to something that's holy. So maybe we would allow you to move them. So that's why he needed to ask the shaila, and indeed the answer was lo yizizem mim komam. Now chala, that's tamei. We may remember this from Masechta Shabbos. Is really not something that I can't use at all. I can use chala or truma, that's tamei, for fuel. That's a general halacha. That's one of the things I can. We spoke about oil. Shemen Sreifa. Shemen Sreifa, second paragraph of Masechet Shabbos. Shemen Sreifa, oil that has to be burnt, needs to be burnt because it became Tameh. It was Truma that became Tameh. So you're allowed to use it for Kohen. You can use it for fuel. So what's the problem here? The problem here is of the concept of Ein Sorfin Kachim B'yomtov, something holy, whether it be Truma or Karbanos, Kachim, or Chala in this case, you're not allowed to burn that on Yom Tov. So I can't use that for fuel. That's based on the Pasuk of Parshas Bo. When it comes to Karbanos, it says, Lo sosir mimenu ad boker, can't leave over from a carbon till the morning. Vahanosu mimenu ad boker ba'ish distrofu. When am I supposed to burn the leftover carbon? So it says ad boker twice. What does ad boker teach me? That when it comes to my carbon Pesach, or anything holy for that matter, that I can't use anymore, you can't burn it the first boker, which is the 15th of Nisan. You have to wait till the 16th of Nisan, which is already Chol HaMoed. And that's a general rule of Ein Sorfin Kachim B'Yom Tov. So that's why, let's say the Mishnah Baba Malikin, Ein Malikin B'Shemen Sreifa B'Yom Tov. You're not allowed to use Shemen Sreifa, or it's Truma that became Tameh, Kachim that became Tameh, I should be able to use for fuel, yes, but not on Yom Tov, because on Yom Tov there's a prohibition of burning something holy based on the pasuk, based on the double ad boker from those psukim.